Jeremiah chapter 33, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to be able to come to your house, to worship you this morning, to sing praises to you this morning, and Lord, that we do so freely, and Lord, that we do it, we don't even have to worry about things. We don't have to worry about being arrested. We live in a free country as of right now. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise your name for that. Lord, there are those that around the world that would give anything, Lord, to be able to do what we're doing openly. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I ask that you would be with me this morning as I bring what you've laid on my heart. I ask you to anoint the message. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint us all here that it will not fall on deaf ears. Lord, that your word would go to our hearts and our minds and make the changes that need to be. Lord, if there is one here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, they will trust you. Lord, we thank you for all the mothers that are here this morning. We lift them up to you. We thank you, Lord, for their willingness to be here. I ask you now to hide me behind thy cross. It has nothing to do with me, but it is all about Jesus. And these things we pray in Jesus' sweet and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Moses. When I think about Moses, I started thinking about really three different people. The Lord laid something on my heart, and then He brought something else to it. But it all tied together. And when I start thinking about Moses, I think about a man who he was probably the greatest leader that has ever walked the face of this earth. God called him to go down into Egypt and bring His people out of bondage. And Moses went down, and if you know the story of Moses, he went down there. They had the plagues of Egypt, and I'm not going to go into all of them. And then Pharaoh said, "Get out of here. I don't want you here. Take your people and go." And Moses took his people, probably about 3 million, maybe 4 million or so people. When you get to really doing the figures, and he led those people out of there, of course, with God. And he led those people out, and they get to the Red Sea. What's Moses do at the Red Sea? They all stop, and they're like, "What are we going to do? The Egyptians were coming." Pharaoh done got an attitude. In other words, in the south, Pharaoh done got bent. That's B-E-N-T, bent. That means mad, torqued off. And so he's coming. He's like, "You know what? We can't have them here under bondage. We'll just kill them all." And that's where he was going, to slaughter them. And these people are like, "We are going to die." And Moses called on God. And God says, "Hey, tell them to step forward." Well, listen, they had the Egyptians behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. That ain't hard to do, if you don't mind getting wet. I don't know what kind of creatures they got in the Red Sea, but, you know, I'm sure that was crossing their mind. God said, "Moses, tell them to step forward and go." And man, he put his rod out there, and the Red Sea parted. And they walked over. Listen, don't get me wrong. I like Charlton Heston, okay? He was one of my favorite actors. He was a good man in my book. But in his movie, they stepped in mud puddles along the way. Listen, the Bible says it was on dry ground. The Bible says it's on dry ground. It was dry ground. And they walked across the Red Sea. And then Moses turned around and once he got across there, there was many things that took place. He went to Mount Sinai and he went before God Himself. Spent 40 days and 40 nights. He saw the backside of God as he walked past the cleft of a rock and covered it with his hand. And he said, I'll let you see my hinder parts. Moses had asked to see him. And really and truly, listen, you ain't going to see God and live. Not while you're living on the face of this earth. And when he come back down, his face was so bright that they had to build a veil to go over it. And then Moses takes the people, and for 40 years they wander around in the wilderness, and he led them around for 40 years out there. And then he got to see the promised land from afar off. Moses was a great man, and he was a great godly leader. He had great faith and trust. And then I think about a man named Samuel. And Samuel was a man of prayer. That's what he's known as. He was known as a great man of prayer. And he was known as an upright judge. And Samuel got to talk to God. He got to listen to God. God come up and called him and said, hey, Samuel. Now, I've often heard the Lord speak to me, okay? But not in an audible voice. Samuel's laying in the bed. He's a young man. And he's laying in the bed and he was with Eli. Well, here, let's go there real quick. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to read that. That's a good account. 1 Samuel 3. It says in the verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Listen, Samuel was living in a time of corruption. The temple was corrupt. Eli's sons were corrupt. God would bring judgment on them later. And He brought judgment on Eli. There was no vision. In other words, they didn't have any word from God. And then God speaks. He said, in verse 3 it says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Verse 5, it says, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Oh, it was about to be. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called. Oh, I like that. It says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Listen, Samuel was a man that was given over to the Eli and to the work of God before he was born. And here he is, he's there at the temple, and things are not good there. It took Eli three times to realize that, hey, God's talking to him. He was kind of needed some brushing up or something. Things were not good there. Well, God says, hey, Samuel. And then Samuel was told, listen, that's God talking to you. You know, that's special. Oh, and then there's Timothy. You go over the book of Timothy. Timothy was a young man that became one of Paul's great workers, fellow laborer. And Timothy ended up pastoring the church at Ephesus. And what a place to pastor. You know, we think that pastoring churches here in Henderson and Las Vegas is something. It wasn't nothing like that. You go home one of these days, look up Ephesus. Study about Ephesus, some of the mess that was going on there. Hey, it's a rough place. But you know what they all had in common? One thing that all three of these guys had in common. One thing they all three had in common. They had godly mothers. They had godly mothers. When I got to studying about godly mothers, I'm like, well, who can I... So I went to Samuel because I liked the story about Hannah. But I'm like, who can I... You know, and the Lord started directing me to Moses and this and that. And I'm like... So I thought about that. I'm like, all three of these guys, they had godly mothers. Now, there were some people in the Bible that didn't have godly mothers. It turned out okay. There's a lot of them. But these guys really stuck out to me. And godly mothers, I'm going to tell you something, is an important part of life. Go to Exodus. We're going to take several little exits here. Go to Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 3. Exodus is right after Genesis. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child..." Let me ask you a question. You ever had a... You mamas, you can answer this. When you got your little baby in your arms, did you think, you little brat? No. They were goodly. You liked them. All but Carly. I'm picking on Carly. Listen. She looked at little baby Moses and it was like, oh, he's a goodly child. You know, when I look at mine, they're like, I still look at them that way. Although I could sometimes hit my son or... He's a goodly child. He's what? 36 years old? I guess he can do what he wants. No, they're good kids. I better get on. He was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. Now, I'm going to tell you briefly why they were hiding them for 3 months. You see, the Pharaoh decided he'd kill all of the male children of the Hebrews. That was a good way to stop population. You know, no matter what our world thinks, Adam and Steve can't get any kids. Neither can Sally and Lori. It takes Jack and Jill. Okay, we don't have to go into the lesson here, but that's what it takes. Amen. He didn't want them to populate no more. I just get rid of all the male kids. They were throwing them in the Nile River and the crocodiles were just, ooh, yeah, buffet every day. Loved it. Well, so she hid the kid. She said, no, I got to hide him. I can't let them do that to him. How many of you mothers you just walk over and throw them out there? No. Well, you're going to be hiding that child. You're going to do everything you possibly can. Well, Jochebed, she hides him. But when, it says verse 3, she could no longer hide him. She couldn't hide him no longer. He was getting too noisy. Well, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find out that they done this in faith, her and her husband. She took a little basket and, boy, she built a little ark out of these bulrushes and she padded it all down. You know she did because you didn't want stickers sticking in. Because she's going to put him in the river where the crocodiles are. She didn't know what else to do with him. What am I going to do? So you know what she's going to do? She's going to trust God. Jochebed was a woman of great faith and trust. And she took that little child and, boy, she patted that little basket down and then, you know, she had to kiss him. And you know she was praying and she put that little baby in the river and she let it go. Now, that took a lot of faith. It took a lot of trust. It wasn't in her husband. It wasn't in thinking, hey, somebody downriver's going to... No. She put it all in God's hands. And that day, listen, God sealed up the crocodile's mouths. They didn't come out and eat that one. He got found and then he was raised and later became that great godly leader. Why? Because he had a mother of faith and trust. Don't ever let anybody tell you that, oh, they're just little babies, they're not learning. Hogwash. They are learning. Do you see, the state wants to get them now as soon as they can get a hold of them so they can warp their mind. Amen? That's what they want. Listen, if at all possible, mama, you expecting mothers, raise your children. Don't give it to the state or anybody else to raise. They'll jack them up. Listen, they'll have enough trouble over the years without going ahead and letting them mess with their minds. They will. They will mess with their minds. They'll tell them all kind of mess. You raise your children. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what God designed you to do. By the way, you fathers, you better be right there with your moms, helping to raise your children. But today's about moms. You dads are off. Oh, Father's Day is coming. A woman of prayer. 1 Samuel. You go over to 1 Samuel chapter 1, you'll find out Hannah was barren. She didn't have no children. She got serious and she got down on her knees and she poured out her heart to God. And the prophet sitting over there, Eli, looking at her, and he thinks, she's drunk. Because there she is, she's pouring eyes, water coming out of her eyes, she's crying, and she's praying from her heart, but her mouth's moving. He thinks she's drunk. No, she was dead serious about what she was doing. She didn't care what he thought or what anybody else. She was a godly mom that was really, truly wanting a child. And she was praying. And guess what? Her little baby come along when there was no more vision of the people. She asked God, give me a son. And guess what she did? She said, and I'll give him back. Listen, they belong to God anyway. Give your child to God. You tell God, whatever you want, He's yours. You take care of Him. Listen, God ain't going to mess up. You give your child to God. My wife did that. God do whatever He wants to do to my children. That's His business. All of my grandkids, that's His business. He knows what's best for them. God forbid that it take place, but if He takes one of them now, then you know what? God help me to be strong with it. But guess what? He knows what's best. My wife had a few miscarriages. You know what? When I get to heaven, I got some more kids there. But God knew what was best. I've known people, I sat with a little, with a 16-year-old girl and her 18-year-old boyfriend. I sat in the hospital when her baby was born and it died 5 hours later. And I was sitting right there with her. And she said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know, but she'll be a whole lot better off. You leave it to God." You know, that's what we need, to be able to trust God. And prayer. That's important. You mothers, put your faith and trust in God in all of your decisions. Be a prayer warrior. Let your babies see you praying. Grandmas, let your children, your grandchildren see you praying to God. You're not showing off. You're not bragging. You're doing what God says. Why do you think Samuel was a praying man? Because he watched his mother pray. Why do you think Moses had the faith and trust in God that he had? Because his mom had faith and trust in God. He knew that. He saw that. By the way, as a reward for her faith and trust, she got to raise her baby and got paid for it. Jochebed did. That ain't a bad deal. You know, God blessed her. Listen, these kids need to see you praying. They need to see you shedding tears in your prayers. And if they say, "Mama, what are you doing?" You tell them, "Shh, I'm praying." Let them know. Get them to get on their knees with you. Show them how it's done. It's important. Oh, and then Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Way over to the back. And yes, before Revelation. It's in the T's. That's the only thing that's alphabetical in here, I think. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Well, I better get there myself. I was in 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 5. Paul was writing a letter to Timothy. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." In other words, the undisguised, it was manifest for all to see, his faith in God. He said, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." You see, Timothy saw it in his grandmother, he saw it in his mother, and it reflected on his life. Listen, you ladies, grandmas or moms, your children need to see godly reactions from you. They need to see godly action in your life. They need to see that your walk is what God wants, because guess who they're going to be following? Your walk. That's exactly right. They follow us in our dress. They follow us in everything that we do. In our thought patterns, the way we treat other people, they follow that. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be, and I say we, because that's you guys also, setting examples for the young ones. For your children especially. Because listen, that's what they need to see. They need to see a difference. Because there is a difference in a godly mother. And if they don't, listen, if they don't see it in you, they're going to pick it up from somebody. What do you want them to follow? What old so-and-so shows them, or what you show them? Think about that. How many hours a day are you with your children? 7, 8? And part of that's asleep? The rest of the time where they're at, out in the world, they got the worldly influence. The time spent with your children is very little. You need to have a positive influence. And the only way to have a positive influence is to be a godly person. To be that person that God wants us to be. Godly mothers, you need to have that faith and trust in God that Jochebed had. That's what Moses saw. Look what came forth from that. One of the greatest leaders that ever walked the earth. A man that God could use. And then you had Samuel's mom, Hannah. She was a praying woman. She was dead serious when she prayed. She asked God, she said, "You give me a boy and I'll give him back." You see, in that day and time, boys, male children were very important. She said, "I'll give him back to you." She gave him back when he was weaned. He's about 3 years old. They breastfed children in that day till they were 2 and 3 years old. That's when she took her little boy and she took him to the temple to Eli and to the wicked sons that he had, and they knew what kind of people they were, and they left them there because she said, "I've gave him to God." And you got to hand it to Elkanah, her husband, the dad. He went along with it because he knew that's what God wanted. See, Samuel come about in a time that, well, they needed God bad. It was a sad situation. And Samuel went a long way for God. He'd done a lot of things. What kind of life, what kind of example do you set in front of God, in front of your children? Whether you're mom or dad, ask yourself that. What kind of example am I setting in front of my children? Do they see me pray? Do they see me read the Bible? You see, Timothy, it says in the book of Timothy that he knew from a child about the Scriptures. Why? Because the next door neighbor taught him? No. Because his grandma and his mom did. I watched my wife, even when I wasn't living the way I should be. At one time, I didn't do too good. But I watched her read a Bible every night to my children. You could call up either one of my children and ask them, is there a time that they can remember when they went to bed that their mother didn't at least pray with them, read a Bible, or tell them a Bible story? And if they tell you the truth, they'll say, "No, I can't remember a time when she didn't do that unless she just wasn't there." She told my children all about Noah's Ark, all about Moses, all those things. She told our children those stories. David and Goliath. And you know what? That sticks with them. That is important for us to do. You mamas, take the time to take your little kids and tell them Bible stories. Because it'll pay off 20 years from now. Let's all stand. We're going to have a song of invitation.